You're listening to Call to Action, a podcast powered by Unbounce, the landing page and overlay builder for marketing teams and agencies. Leading up to the holidays and getting ready for vacation can sometimes prompt feelings of, do I even know what I'm doing at work? Samuel Scott, who's the director of marketing at Logs.io, would happen to agree. However, not in a way you may be thinking. He wrote a post for TechCrunch this year called Everything the Tech World Says About Marketing is Wrong. Sounds inflammatory? Then you bet you'll want to hear what Samuel said to our content director, Dan Levy, about what's wrong with the state of marketing today and what we as marketers can do about it. Listen now.
You start your article with guns blazing, saying that the biggest problem with marketing in the tech world today is that too many marketers don't know the first thing about marketing. Them fighting words. What brought you to this breaking point?
Well, Dan, I'll tell you. Basically, one day, I got a sales pitch at work from a certain content farm, and I won't name them to embarrass them, but it's a pretty big name. And they offered Logs.io 1,000-word blog post for roughly, what was it, $60 each. Even for, you know, a really niche, complex, high-tech industry such as ours, you know, we deal with DevOps engineers, system administrators, site reliability engineers. And when I saw that price quote, I thought, you know, there is no way that $60 could deliver anything creative, interesting, original that would interest, you know, our audience, the people with whom we connect. And furthermore, no person who actually knows his stuff is going to consent to earning, you know, what, $60, you know, to spend his time writing a 1,000-word article. Now, that was what first hit me. But then what I realized is that there are thousands and thousands of companies and agencies, and again, more content farms, for lack of a better word. And I just realized that their goal is to spam the internet with, sorry to be blunt, basically cheap crap. And blog spam is the worst type of spam because it purports to be, you know, educational and informative and helpful. But again, 99% of what I see out there is redundant crap, sorry. And it's farmed out to the lowest bidder. I mean, at least spam emails are obvious about what they're selling. They're not trying to be something they're not. But the thing is, what I saw is that, you know, we're getting what we pay for. If you treat a piece of content, I'm using air quotes right now, you know, as a widget, to produce at the lowest possible cost, you're going to be, again, flooding the internet with crap. And this is what pisses me off because, again, Dan, you're a marketer. I'm a marketer. I care about our industry and the people I know who work in it. But because of things like this and other things that are a conversation for another time, too many people think that online marketing is all about spamming because of things like blog spam or Black Hat SEO or a couple other things that are off topic for this time. That's basically why I decided to just write what I've always wanted to write to try and, you know, make people understand that doing all of this, you know, these content marketing, it's not helping to sell products. It's not helping our industry. And I just wanted to communicate that. I just had a burst of inspiration. So I put it in my TechCrunch column.
Right. And you say that digital marketers being marketers should be cynical enough to know better than to fall into an echo chamber of what you call meaningless buzzwords like content marketing. What do you mean by that? Much like you, I come from the journalism world, and I don't know that I'd describe marketers as inherently cynical, at least compared to journalists.
Wow. Okay. So coming from both areas myself too, first journalism and then marketing, I kind of think we or they, whatever, we're two sides of the same coin. But that's maybe a podcast for another time. Basically, what people need to understand is that marketers are always selling something. Always. And marketers should know that better than anyone. But what really, you know, just made me so incredulous is that companies that market to marketers should have the toughest job in the world. But sadly, you know, I don't think that's the case. I mean, some companies invented these terms, such as inbound marketing and content marketing. And then they put on this big dog and pony show, you know, online over several years, and many people in our industry fell for it. That's what I mean by buzzwords, and that's why I'm kind of saddened that marketers whose job is to sell people stuff and to convince people that things are new and they're really probably not, that they fell for this, the exact same thing, but only in reverse to them.
Right. So do you think content marketing is just a meaningless buzzword or just a new overly complicated way to describe something that marketers have been doing for years?
Definitely, I would say it's a meaningless buzzword because the use of this generic, bland word content, again with the air quotes, implies that one is viewing it basically as a widget. And that's why I hate the word, because it doesn't mean anything precise or specific. Now, going back to traditional marketing theory, what's called the promotion mix. Promotion is one of the four P's, and the promotion mix consists of advertising, direct marketing, personal selling, sales promotion, and publicity. Now, each of these things refers to something very, very precise and very, very specific. There are times to do each of these things, and there are times not to do each of these things. There are best practices for each one of these things that have been developed over 100 years. But if you tell me, and if you tell me that you want to produce an advertisement, I know exactly what you mean, and I know how to strategize around that goal. But if you say you want to produce a piece of content, I have no idea what you mean, and you probably don't either. I mean, think of it as you're producing either marketing creatives or marketing collateral, you know, whether it's an advertisement or a piece of sales collateral for a direct marketing campaign or publicity material that's trying to get a reporter to write about you, to send, you want to send them a media kit, or maybe a customer guide that is actually helpful. These are the things that one learns when taking a proper Marketing 101 course. Decide what precise thing you want to create in line with your goals and your strategy, and then use the best practices that have been developed over a century, when you're doing that.
So using the term content, in other words, is maybe a sign that you don't know what you're actually talking about. What words do you suggest that we use instead?
Well, what I sort of just said. It's if you want to do a direct marketing campaign, that means something very specific. Then you want to create sales collateral for a direct marketing campaign. That whole phrase is something very specific. Mm-hmm. If you do want to do an ad campaign, you want to create an advertisement. And again, advertising strategy goes back 100 years. There are ways to approach it, things to do, messages to communicate, what formats are best, what channels are best. Advertising strategy is very complex. It depends, if someone says they want to create content or they want to create a content marketing campaign, what I really think is that they don't know what they want to do. They don't know whether their strategy should be a direct marketing strategy or an advertising strategy or a publicity strategy. And they're just using the word content because everyone else is using this word content. So they're repeating themselves. And if they haven't taken a traditional marketing education, they don't know how the overall strategic MarCom process works from the very beginning. And that's why I am very passionate about the use of terms, because they're very precise. Take a background in journalism. Journalists are trained to see through buzzwords. We're trained to, excuse me again, cut through the bullshit and determine what exactly and what precisely is this person or this company saying. And I take the same attitude whenever I write about the marketing industry and I do marketing campaigns myself. What precisely do we need to do, or what precisely is this company doing? Mm-hmm. People have used the phrase content marketing to refer to direct marketing campaigns. I've seen people do an ad campaign on the internet. It's a straight advertisement, and they say, this is our content marketing. And I just, do a facepalm, because they just don't know any better. Too many people have, again, fallen for the use of these terms, and they've never taken a proper marketing course, let alone a marketing degree, and they just don't know what they're doing because they've been misled by these companies that are out there just trying to sell software.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. The term content, like you said, is used for like almost anything, right? It could be an advertisement. It could be a blog post. So are we talking about semantics here? Is it that we need to get rid of that word? Or is there that, is there something about the way marketers are using content to generate leads and drive conversions that's different and new, but we don't really have the proper word for?
Okay, well, in this example, in my response, I'll use the word content to make sure people understand the overall message. What is marketing? Marketing has always been about creating a message, placing that message into a piece of content or marketing collateral or what have you, and then transmitting that content over a channel to an audience. Mm-hmm. This is the marketing process. It's actually the communications process, of which marketing is a subset. And the goal of this marketing process is to build brands, increase demand, and move people down sales funnels. Always has been, always will be. The difference today is that we have an additional set of communications channels that we can use. They're called the internet, mobile devices, and probably pretty soon virtual reality. Mm-hmm. But overall, this process remains the same. A soap company, for example, in the U.S. in the 1950s, could create an advertisement transmitted over TV. Today, or you know, about 3 or 4 years ago, Dollar Shave Club created an advertisement and transmitted it over YouTube. The goal is the same: sell more product. It's the creation of a message, inserting that message into a piece of content, these advertisements, and then transmitting it over channels to an audience. That channel can be TV back in the 50s. That channel can be YouTube today. It's the exact same process, and people need to understand the role of content in this overall framework. The problem is, if someone just thinks about creating content, that's useless, or at least it's less effective, because they don't understand that the content plays a part in this overall framework mm-hmm. that I just described, this process. And that framework occurs within one of those things in the promotion mix. Again, advertising, direct marketing, publicity, personal selling, and sales promotion. That this MarCom process occurs within one of those five frameworks. First, determine the framework, then determine the overall process, then think about what content you need to create. Because content is not first on the list. It's third or fourth or fifth on the list. The framework and the strategy comes first. That's why content marketing doesn't work as a phrase. Because if content is your first thought, you've missed the whole point of how marketing does. I mean, how marketing works and how it's been traditionally done.
Hmm. So by saying content marketing, you're automatically assuming the channel or the format that you're going to be using.
Sometimes yes, but it just means it doesn't mean anything because here's the thing. Bob Hoffman, he calls himself the ad contrarian. Great blog. People should Google him. He calls content the Seinfeld of marketing terms. It's a word about nothing because it means nothing specific. Content is an ad on YouTube. It's a selfie on Instagram. It's a cat picture on Facebook. It's a guide that I find in Google search results. If a word means everything, it means nothing. And that's what I'm trying to communicate. The first question people need to ask themselves, you know, should I do an advertisement? Should I do a PR campaign? Should I do a direct marketing campaign? Whatever. There are reasons to do all of these and reasons not to do all of these. First, pick your marketing strategy, and then think about your channels and your audience and what you need to create. Then, you know, and then think about the content or whatever you want to call it. The process needs to be done correctly.
Yeah, I feel like one of the reasons that people talk about content marketing or start with the term content marketing is maybe how online marketing teams are structured these days, where they have a content marketing team. And you come from a journalistic background. And so, you know, when you look at a content marketing team, obviously what you're talking about is editors and writers and producers and copywriters.
I 90% agree with you. To be honest, first I was in journalism, then I went into marketing from there. You're correct. But the thing is, I see no difference from what content teams do today than what creative teams did 10, 20, even 50 years ago.
Well, that's what I was getting at, right? I mean, it's like you're essentially just using this new term to talk about things that existed before.
In this context, yes. A creative team or a content team, they create, you know, the graphics, the videos, the ads, the blog posts, the brochures, you know, all of this, you know, collateral. You know, and these teams produce this collateral with the goal of using it in an ad campaign or a PR campaign or a direct marketing campaign. But, you know, those frameworks have to be decided first, and then the creative or content team, you know, does their thing. That's the way the process has always worked. But if you just have a content team that just starts creating stuff without any direction, with any strategy, it's going to be less effective, if not downright useless.
Right. You'll suggest that most of what the tech world emphasizes these days, things like email marketing and PPC and conversion rate optimization, those fall into what was traditionally called direct marketing. But you say that's a kind of a problem. Why do you think that is? What's missing?
Okay, so first of all, just a point of a clarification. CRO is not direct marketing. Okay. CRO, like proper SEO and a lot of other things today, is one of the few things that is genuinely new. I mean, obviously, anyone who says marketing in 2016 is the same as marketing in 1986 is completely wrong. There are definitely many things that are new today, and CRO, SEO is one of them or two of them.
Because they're actually channel specific or digital specific.
Yeah, they are. Exactly. That's why. Now, one thing that I argue, I argue that email marketing and PPC campaigns are direct marketing. I argue this fact because I want people to be successful. If you go into email marketing knowing that it is a type of direct marketing over a specific channel, then you can use the best practices in direct marketing that have been developed over decades. But if your goal over email is to, increase brand awareness and all of these things that are more suited to an ad campaign, if you try to apply advertising principles, not direct marketing ones, but advertising principles to the channel of email, you're going to have a bad day just because the two don't mix. And that's why, and this is just one very small example, I really encourage people to study the traditional terminology and the practices and then apply those practices to the modern online channels. And if people do that, they will be much better at their jobs, be much more successful. They won't start spamming the internet with crap, and everybody wins.
What do you think is missing if digital departments are for the most part just focusing on the direct marketing stuff?
They're missing, they're focusing on the short term and ignoring the long term. Let me give you an example. There was a car company, what was it? Lexus? I forget. I think like a year or two ago, there was a European, I think, car company that got a lot of bad press because of a lot of security flaws or failures. They had accidents. I forget, whatever.
Was it Volkswagen, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. I think you're right, actually. Now, sales should have plummeted, like forever. The brand might have died. But the thing is, Volkswagen, through advertising, had built a strong brand over decades and decades and decades, where one bad news cycle wouldn't kill them. And this is the thing. Think about Apple. Why is Apple the most profitable brand in the world? Did they spam people with like certain inbound marketing software platforms do? No. Did they start, doing retargeting with having, ads stalk people around the internet and social media outlets? No. What did they do? Well, first, they did, so ad campaigns are the number one way to build brands. Always have been, always will be. They did the 1984 ad campaign on TV. Mm-hmm. What was the second one they did? Think Different. Think Different was a huge ad campaign, I think, in the late 90s, if I'm not mistaken. That was huge. And then, okay, so who remembers? When the iPod came out in the early 2000s, I believe. What was the commercial? Bono and U2, in a silhouette, rocking out to the with the iPod, right. On TV.
Back when U2 was still considered cool.
The thing is, I mean, Apple became the most valuable brand in the world through advertising, through offline advertising. And I laugh when people say, oh, offline advertising is dead, traditional marketing is dead, let's all go online. And I'm like, no, you have no sense of history, do you? I mean, there's a time and a place to do online marketing, offline marketing, traditional advertising, online PPC, SEO. There's a time and a place for everything, so we can't just count out any channel or any method.
So running those sorts of big advertising campaigns, offline stuff is awesome if you're Apple. But what is that? What's that sort of marketing look like in the digital space? If you're a MarTech
company? Exactly. Okay, so that type of campaign, I hate to go back to a cliched example, but it's just look at the Dollar Shave Club. That was an ad campaign, and it probably cost, if I remember, what, $5,000, maybe $10,000. It wasn't that much, but because here's the thing, marketing has always been about creatives, and if you have $5,000, but you have a really creative idea, a really creative person, you can do something like the Dollar Shave Club did for cheap. The thing is, a lot of online marketing is just boring. Marketers have forgotten about creativity. I mean, the most boring thing I can ever do in my daily job is write PPC ad text. I mean, come on. Can you think of anything more tedious and more dry and more boring? I mean, we write emails, we write PPC ad text, we, optimize meta tags for SEO. We write blog posts, informational material to target keywords. And I'm like, but it's all, yeah, it's interesting, but it's kind of boring, a lot of it. I mean, I kind of wish online marketers would get back to being fun and creative, being the madmen that, you know, the ad industry used to be. And I think it would be a lot more effective, but nobody wants to give it a chance. And I don't have a good answer why.
Right. Do you think that there's room to do that in channels like PPC and email marketing? Or are you talking about investing in more like promotional type long-term brand campaigns that can't necessarily be measured in the same way that more conversion-centered marketing can?
Right. Okay. Well, this comes down to short-term versus long-term goals. Most big brands out there, we're talking Fortune 500 companies, you know, they allocate part of their marketing to, you know, immediate sales, obviously, and part of it toward long-term goals, you know, through, and the long-term goals are advertising and PR campaigns. Short-term goals are more direct marketing, personal selling, things like that. So I would argue that online marketers should, you know, take the same principle. Everyone thinks in the short term, you know, how many conversions can I get today? How can I increase my conversion rate tomorrow? But they're not thinking about 1 year, 3 years, 5 years down the road. And part of that comes from the tech startup world in which I actually operate in my daily job at Logs.io. We think more about short term goals because we're a startup. We can't afford to think otherwise most of the time. But not every company is like that. I would love to see more creativity going into online marketing. It would just make it more exciting, and I think it would, you know, it would interest the public more in what we're doing. You know, the public sees retargeted advertising, they see blog spam, and we don't get any respect, and that kind of breaks my heart. Like, I would love to see a great creative ad campaign like Think Different, and really get the respect back of the public.
You wrote that one of the mistakes that happens when online marketers don't know the fundamentals of marketing is assigning the wrong goals to the wrong functions. What do you mean by that?
So here, I'll give you two examples of the promotion mix that I have been talking about. Mm-hmm. You have direct marketing is one of them, and you've got publicity. Those two marketing strategies are very different and have very different KPIs. The KPI of a direct marketing campaign is essentially how many immediate sales or leads do we get? No, right away. That's direct marketing. The KPIs of a publicity campaign or a PR campaign can include things like the size of the audience reached, the share of voice compared to competitors, and brand sentiment. You'll never hear online marketers talking about these terms because they don't know them. Too many online marketers want to apply direct marketing KPIs to all types of marketing campaigns, and that's completely wrong. The question of how many customers resulted from our press coverage is a question that is based on a faulty assumption, a faulty premise. That question is trying to apply direct marketing KPIs to a publicity campaign. And that just doesn't work. That's my thought in a nutshell, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm curious, what reaction did you get to this piece from digital marketers? Were people angry, defensive? Did they thank you?
Well, the TechCrunch column was shared, if I remember, about 20,000 times, and I got on that piece alone, I think it was like almost 400 comments. Wow. Off the top of my head, I'd say it was about two-thirds supportive and one-third negative.
Okay.
Most of those who were supportive said that I had written something that they had always wanted to write. You know, like they thought the same thing I did, but they just didn't have the courage or they just didn't have the time to write something like that. Those who were negative, if I recall correctly, thought that basically I must be some old geezer who was yelling at clouds. And I'm not that old. I'm only 35. Come on, people. But, you know, I have the luxury of remembering the marketing world before and after the internet. So, you know, I was of the, you know, sort of exact generation where I see the pros and the cons and the best practices of offline and online, and I just try to incorporate both into what I do.
All right, well, let's end on a hopeful note if we can. What are some ways that marketers can avoid these traps and make sure they're creating marketing experiences that both provide real value for their audience and spur growth for the organizations that they work for?
Well, the first thing I would recommend is that people should take a break from reading marketing blogs for a few weeks, except for Unbounce, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But I recommend is stop reading marketing blogs for a few weeks. You won't miss anything. You know, after you follow marketing blogs for a long enough time, you'll just see the same topics repeating themselves over and over and over because we all have this mindset that we all have to publish and publish and publish, even if we have nothing interesting or freaking new to say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes I think we should just shut the F up. Sorry. Anyway, here's my point.
Oh, I thought that was the piece of advice. I was like, that's not bad, actually.
So basically, I would recommend you stop reading marketing blogs for a while. Buy a used Marketing 101 textbook. Read the whole freaking thing. It might take a couple of weeks. Read that Marketing 1 textbook and learn about traditional marketing principles that are still taught today in 2016 and apply those ideas and those principles to the new communications channels that you are using, internet, mobile devices, maybe again soon virtual reality. If you know the theories that have been developed in marketing for the past 100 years and you can take those theories and apply them to all of these online marketing channels we have today, you will race ahead of your peers. You will know more than 10 times what anyone else knows, simply for the fact that 99% of digital marketers have never read a Marketing 101 textbook in their lives, and they don't know these terms. They fall for crap like inbound marketing and content marketing. So if the book I recommend is, it's called Principles of Marketing by Philip T. Kotler, K-O-T-L-E-R, and Gary Armstrong. Take a few weeks, read this entire textbook, and you will learn more than a year's worth of reading marketing blogs. Except for Unbalanced again, of course.
All right. Well, if you'll excuse me, I have some reading to do. Thank you so thanks so much, Samuel, for taking the time to chat. This is really thought-provoking
stuff. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Samuel Scott, Director of Marketing at Logs.io. You can find his full post on the TechCrunch website at techcrunch.com. Samuel spoke in this episode about taking a break from marketing blogs, and our blog team actually did just that this year. Next week on the podcast, hear what happened when the Unbounce content team stopped publishing on the blog for 2 weeks. That's your call to action. Thanks for listening.